Okay, here we go then. A UK property business. Now, where does that phrase come from? It comes from EITOIA 2005. That's the Income Tax Trading and Other Income Act. And it's a pretty important act for traders, sole traders, partnerships, and so on and so forth. And this is one of the cardboard boxes that I referred to just a little bit earlier. The UK property business cardboard box. So if you've got a two or three buy-to-let properties, maybe one in Edinburgh, one in Exeter, and one, say, in London, then those three properties are treated as a single trade. If one's making a profit and two are making losses, once you've applied all the normal rules, then you've got to put them together. You aggregate the profits and losses. And if you end up with an all-up profit, then that's obviously going to be taxable to income tax. It's going to be non-savings income. If you imagine the traditional column of income, it's the first one at the bottom, and then followed, of course, by the bank, and then followed by dividends. Okay, so a single trade for a UK property business. If you've got a loss, then remember the vital rule is that you can't do anything with that loss. There's no sideways loss relief. All you can do is to carry it forward to be set against future profits in that same cardboard box. The one exception to that, of course, are the rules on furnished holiday lets. The rules on furnished holiday lets, which are rather benign, rather good news, they provide that a loss can be set sideways against your other income. Now, because furnished holiday lets have been in the news a bit, I think we ought to spend a few minutes on those. If you recall, furnished holiday lets were due to go in April 2010, this rather nice rag bag of benign tax rules, due to go in April, but they were able to benefit from a last-minute reprieve in the parliamentary wash-up, which is a posh way of saying that the parties wanting to get FA number one from 2010 on the statute books by the time the country went to the general election, then they were given a last-minute reprieve. I don't think we've heard the end of the story. My instinct is that we will hear more and soon. If you go to the budget speech in June 2010 and the notes that went with that, which are available on the website, the Chancellor said that he was going to review the whole of that, and it could be that we'll have some major changes soon. There's another finance bill on the point of being published at the moment. That's interesting. That's potentially the third one we'll have got in 2010, and we're likely to see some changes on that. But until we do, I think it's carry on as normal. So let's remind ourselves what the rules are for furnished holiday lets. The first and important thing, of course, is it's treated as a trade because you have to roll your sleeves up every week and go and clean it when the holiday folk have gone. You have to change the sheets and, you know, wash the bathroom, etc., etc. Treated as a trade, so you get good tax effects, good loss relief, good capital allowances, and a good CGT treatment as well. You can get things like rollover relief. So if you've sold one at a profit and then you go and buy another one, you can, as it were, put the gain on the first one into the freezer and not pay the tax on that until such times as you sell the second property and so on and so forth. So furnished holiday lets are pretty good. You'll remind yourself too that there are conditions for a furnished holiday let. They've got to be available for 140 days in a tax year and actually let for 70 of those. If you acquired one halfway through a year, clearly you'd be at a disadvantage. So there's a special rule for the first year, and that is that you count the 12 months from the first letting as the period in which you measure your 140 and 70. Now, if we don't make those available for 140 and let for actually 70, then clearly in that year it won't be a furnished holiday let, and then you don't get the good results for tax in that tax year. A fairly recent change to the furnished holiday lets rules is that they, formerly just in the UK, now the rules relaxed, they can be in the EEA, that's the European Economic Area, and that in effect is the EC, plus a few bits and pieces around the side, most notably Switzerland. While we're talking about UK properties, which we broadly are here, rent-a-room relief is a useful relief. It's for people who are either owners or tenants. You don't have to own the property to be able to benefit from that. And it's where, in your main house, you are letting out a furnished room or rooms. They mustn't be self-contained. And you can have the first 4,250 of that tax-free. That's the first 4,250. If there are two of you that are renting, then of course then you can have half of that each. But if what you get is more than 4,250, then you've got a choice. You can either pay tax on the excess, or if it's more beneficial, you can play the rent less expenses game. In other words, the perfectly normal rules.